Nice little line from Samantha Sheldon. Walking to work and listening to the morning show makes a very boring long walk a lot more interesting. Isn't that nice?
She was going to say it makes it a very boring walk.
Holly, please, not when you've got this button to press.
Journalist, TV producer, novelist and 21st century Newcastle man. It's Ian Lennox.
Yes, absolutely. Ian Lennox, who I know specifically wanted me to launch with.
City, Manchester City, we are the lads who are playing to win.
Didn't you, Ian?
Oh, it's lovely.
What's not to appreciate?
I hope the whole record was funded by the £50 million fine you've had.
Now, listen, you know, it's just Michel Platini doing one of his Parisian strops, that's all, you know, Paris Saint-Germain, but anyway.
I think I'm fine as well.
Yeah, well, you know, life continues in its own merry way, but God is in his heaven, righteousness has been restored, and City are league champions for the fourth time, as we said yesterday. And as a Newcastle United fan, and brave attempt to actually do the battle against Liverpool, but sadly, you didn't quite manage to actually end the season with the win we thought you would have done, but never mind. So, life continues. We have Holly and Rachel in the studio. I don't think they're footballing folk, are they, really, in any way, shape or form? No.
I'm afraid not.
No. So there's sort of the ecstasy that's sort of been enveloping at least one half of Manchester, and indeed the Western world, possibly might have just...
World Cup this year.
Exactly, yes. And what happened, as I said yesterday, last time Austria won the Eurovision Song Contest?
We won the World Cup.
There you have it, Ian.
That doesn't mean we'll win this year.
It's an omen. Do you not sense that, Ian, coming through?
No, I don't. I think we'll be lucky to get through the group.
Yeah, but, you know, we didn't qualify in 66 because it was actually in England. So,
yes,
you know,
then,
yet another omen that's actually coming through. It's just phenomenal. You know, I mean, there's nothing more you can actually sort of say than that. A month time and the thing will have actually started in earnest. Will you be following it, Ian, or will it be a case of no?
Yes, I will, yeah. I like watching top-level football. Oh. And next season, I'm hoping to... go and watch Gateshead play, actually.
Oh.
It's not top-level football, but looks like they're going to get into the Football League. Well, and I only live about 3 or 4 miles from the stadium, so...
There we are, you see. And how are the lodgers, Ian? Because obviously one of the key features, ever since your time at Tyne Tees Television, and producer and journalist and so on, and as we said, wonderful folk, you know, we follow the ballet dancers. How are the lodgers coping these days?
I've got a new influx now.
Yes.
There's still dancers, most of them, anyway. I had from... Matthew Bourne's Swan Lake, mm-hmm. to Dirty Dancing.
Don't put them in the corner.
They're all of the same ilk, really.
He didn't get that. He obviously has never seen the joy that is Patrick Swayze and Jennifer. Gray. Yes, that's right. Jennifer Gray doing. Don't put baby. No one puts baby in the corner.
Oh yes. Right. I don't think I have seen the film, actually, but it was years and years ago.
Patrick Swayze, obviously, no longer with
us. They're remaking it, aren't they? I know.
Right.
Holly's going to be shocked.
They remake everything, Holly.
Some films should remake classic.
They'll even remake Jesse Eisenberg before too long. He'll be remade.
It's an interesting thing that seems to happen this year now, because the big sellers are all either musicals or dancing shows. Mm-hmm. And I think it's people just want to escape.
Ian, last year I put the word out that we're looking for the Midweek Drive, the musical, to actually take us to a new level. I think we need to get our team on that. It's very
important. That episode of Buffy.
Oh, yeah, I love Buffy.
Once Upon a Time with Feeling. That's important for a film.
Such a good episode.
And, I mean, Holly's all set for jazz hands, I believe, in terms of the dancing routine you can actually give to the whole system, the choral setup. Rachel would do it. It'd be fantastic. Anyway, that's another line for another time entirely. What other sort of lines would you like to share with us, Ian? Because as yet, I still haven't provided your text for either Holly or Rachel to actually have a little listen to, but we will.
All right. I did start, tried to start anyway, to start on a new book this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote 4 paragraphs or 5 paragraphs, went away, came back and wrote a different theme, another 4 or 5 paragraphs. And then Eureka, it just came to me when I got walking. Probably the best start for the book would be A Certain Thing. And I haven't written that yet, but I'm much more comfortable with it. Because once you start, when you start a book, it's like a man with a stick in the fog, you know. And you can sort of sense something's there, or something's not there, something's wrong. And both times, And I went both times. I started to write. I knew after about 20 minutes it was wrong, and that just comes with experience, I think. Really, it's a disaster if you pursue it. If you just go on and on and on further into it, because basically it's what the hesitation is telling you is that you're lost, and you've got to know the era in which you're writing. You've got to know the type of characters that existed in those days, and you've got to know their environment. What they thought and what their lives were like, the pattern of their lives. And if you don't know that, things start to go wrong very, very quickly. And I decided both the two attempts I made were wrong. So I started thinking on the path anyway. So I'm pleased.
He or she who hesitates is lost and is left with this.
They got the mustard.
Because if you can't have a little big tune at 12 minutes to 9 o'clock of a morning with the Mustard Men chorus from your
It's all very well, but that chap walking to work,
yes?
And listening to your programme, he's probably marched to the middle of the road now.
It's a chap-esque.
Because it's quite manic music, isn't it?
Exactly.
He's probably stopping traffic as we speak.
Well, we like to ensure that things continue in their own way. I mean, we could have always gone...
Blue moon.
But I shan't, for obvious reasons, much as though we'd like to listen to Matt Munro's piece, because it's time for us to actually invite you in to hopefully join us to check out Cameron Tilbury's latest musical choice. So are you up and available for that?
Yes.
Yes. Now, I think it's fair to say that it's probably more countryfied than previous weeks, isn't it?
I like countryfied music.
Well, this is very countryfied in any
right.
sense. After last week's music in black and white, which was quite amazing in his own way, this particular thing takes us back in time because it's called Back in the Day. Are you ready for this, Ian?
Yes.
James Keith Norman. That was Back in the Day by the aforementioned JKN. And Ian, you'll be pleased to know that Samantha Sheldon has sent a little text all the way from her journey to walk saying, "Cheers, Ian, was definitely a woman last time I checked." Yeah. Always challenging in every sense of the word, but still, never mind. We hope you have a great day at work, Samantha, and look forward to your regular Facebook updates next week on the Midweek Drive and all sorts of other wonderful things. Okay, so what did you make of James Keith Norman and Back in the Day, Ian?
I find it quite a jolly little tune. In my mind, I got this picture of a 1950s barns dance with ladies in flare skirts dancing, swinging around with silly smiles on their faces. But that part's a bit too much.
Silly smiles on their faces.
Well, you know, the one of those 1950s films where they all... So all the dancers are sort of smiling away.
They were in the middle of the post-nuclear age. I mean, obviously they're going to have slightly strange, worried smiles on the whole system. I mean, who knows what could happen?
All right, blame the bomb. I don't know.
Rachel, any thoughts or questions for Ian, or possibly advice on how to cope with your Georgian exam?
Oh, Georgian exam. It's not going to... Oh. Am I there? Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, no, Georgian exam's coming. I liked your how you write, telling us how you do that, like paragraph by paragraph, realising it's wrong. I think that's... Yeah,
oh, right, good. Yes, it's a very individual process, and if you get interested in the subject, you can read works on how different writers started approach their work, and it's extraordinary. I mean, Hemingway, if things were going well, he used to type standing up. Stephen Long used to lock himself in a room for 9 days to write a novel. There's a lady in the Edwardian age to sit on a bough in her garden and sort of write books. All sorts of things. You know, different ways, different times they wrote. Some people went to different countries to write. Other people went to strange hotels. It's a very, very individual process. And the speed at which people write is extraordinary as well. I mean, Catherine Cookson, I think, wrote 2 or 3 books a year.
She was a writing machine, though. I mean, she was trying to physically fill up the entire library of the University of Sunderland, I sense. You know, it's just amazing.
I did the last interview with Captain Cookson, actually, and I liked her enormously. I thought, arrogantly, I thought that should be rather, because I assumed she was a woman's writer and I hadn't read one of her books, that she would be sort of like a Barbara Cartland-like figure. And she wasn't, she had a mind like a laser.
Not that we're obviously sort of, again, Barbara Cartland, her fluffy literature.
No. She was a very bright lady.
And also prolific in writing.
She was very, very much...
15 Streets, about, pet. 15 sorry? Streets.
Oh, was it? Lots of books.
Lots of books.
Yeah.
Ah, well, there we are. You know, it's almost time to actually ask those last two questions, and Holly's going to actually bowl them at you.
Oh, great.
Have you had fun talking to us today?
I have.
And would you like to come back soon?
I would. Usually I just say yes, Holly, but I've decided to be...
I appreciate your in-depth answer.
A bit different. The Kooks. Ooh, Larm on Siren 107.3 FM. Oh, we've got 1 hour to go. So what do you think we should actually do in that remaining hour, Holly? Any thoughts?
Perhaps talk to Alan, Dean, William and Fiona?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It sounds like a band, doesn't it? Sound like a rock band. Alan, Dean, William and Fiona. That would be Alan Stevens, Dean Elliott and William Sitwell and Dr. Fiona Moore. All great stuff. We'll be focusing on Sci-Fi London. And, of course, the wonderful movies that were taking place there. It still resonates. William Sitwell still campaigning about square plates. Yeah, that's around. Of course, you encountered him at Lincoln Inspired Festival.
Oh, yes, someone certainly
all
did.
All there. Brilliant stuff there.
And according to the list, we're talking about the Simon and Garfunkel story.
Yeah, I know. You see, that's a typo. You know, it's a tribute band, but yes, exactly. That's the whole thing. It's the Simon and Garfunkel story on tours at the Lincoln Theatre Royal last week. Listen more on Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. Of course, East Midlands Radio Station of the Year.
This is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
And the weather today, 18 degrees centigrade is the high, 11 degrees centigrade is the low. There will be sunny spells with cloud, and it'll be feeling warm. Is it feeling warm in the Forest of Dean, Alan Stevens?
Yes, actually feels a bit chilly.
Well, that's the West Country for you, obviously. All right, my love. Get off my land. Sorry, I won't do a cold West Country accent because...
No, it was terrible.
It was, wasn't it, really? I mean, in terms of accents, that was one of my probably less successful ones. Never mind. We have Rachel Warren, who's from Bury St Edmunds.
I am. Hello.
And keen science fiction aficionado. And, of course, Holly... So you see Holly Cox there, of course, she is a cheerleader. Holly Parker, who is a singer and indeed equally a...
I wouldn't define myself as a singer. Just because I'm part of a chorus doesn't mean that... You know.
Surely that means you're a singer.
Yeah, but I have other things I do.
Of course you do.
Prefer to be known by.
Of course you do. Top undergraduate within the English
program. I'm not going on X Factor any dancing.
Well, you never know. She's from York, so we don't know. It's going to be a whole range of things there. Funny enough, we never made that connection with Minty, who, of course, was at York Racecourse this morning when we were speaking
to her.
Oh, was she? Yeah, so it just shows interconnectivity. Meanwhile, Alan's waiting to find out, you know, are you going to ask me about Bradley King, the director and co-writer of a splendid event at Sci-Fi London? Bunker 6, Rebecca Sharrett, producer of Bunker 6, the movie, or indeed Lulu and Me and Suicide. How did it go, Alan? Did you have a good time in town with Louis Savvy's fun Sci-Fi London package?
Do you know, I've never been to Bury St Edmunds.
There you are.
Oh.
But I've always wanted to go.
Yeah.
I could then say, you know, I came to Bury St Edmunds not to praise him.
Precisely. Exactly.
Well, you should have paid a visit. It's a lovely town.
I've been waiting to say that joke on radio for like 48 years.
And today we've made manifest that destiny, Alan. We knew that it was going to work. Brilliant.
Manifest destiny. Yeah. How was it? Yeah, it was an excellent. I mean, it was interesting. We can't go to every.
Nobody film. Human can. Alan.
No. And so we basically look on the. We brochure and we read it and we think, well, how does that one do that one sounds good, and, or that one's a good one, but can we make it? You know, is it going to are we going to put into a strike, because there was a tube strike at the time, you know, and eventually we would pick a day which had more than one film to see. So, you know, it was and again, you know, it's based on what you read as opposed to, you know, so sometimes you pick a choice and you pick one which is a bit dust, and other times you pick one and you think, well, that's a sort of the second option, and you watch it, and it's brilliant. And luckily, the last two films we saw were really, really excellent. Yes, I think we sent lists and details of them, didn't we?
Where you have lists in detail.
Are you going to contact any of those people? Because I suggested, especially a time travel one was excellent.
Is that Time Lapse then?
Time Lapse was superb. That was the last film we saw.
Probably our favourite film of the whole festival, say, Alan and Fiona.
Yeah.
Of course, we're not going to be replicating this with Fiona. We'll take a different line from that perspective. But obviously, Rachel, you've headed off by the time we speak to Dr. Fiona Moore,
yes,
as you said
I will.
This morning. Yeah. It's important that we actually, you know, kind of go at the start with Caldor City and at the end. It's like bookended sort of setup. So, Holly, questions for Alan about things like Time Lapse or Suicide or Lulu and Me in A World Made for Two, which was the fourth favourite film that they actually put together.
So which was your favourite out of those four and why?
Time Lapse was the best one. It was very well made, it was very well acted, it was a very neat concept. It sort of it was a time travel story, or basically consisted of these three students who investigate a neighbour who has, you know, milk and newspapers outside of his house suggesting there's something wrong with him. And they go in and they find he's dead. But they also find a huge, strange camera device which has been taking photographs of their front window and of them, specifically, and a whole series of photographs on the wall over the last, 28 days. And they're a bit put off by this at first, and then they look at the last photograph in the series and they don't recognise it. It's a painting. One of the guys is a painter and he's had a bit of a painter's block, and suddenly the canvas has actually got a painting on it. And they realise that this photograph is actually of the future.
See, does that float your boat more than what Richard Fitzwilliams was talking about earlier, Holly?
Doubles? Well, yeah.
Holly's not a fan of the
doppelganger. No, I'd like the doppelganger. Yeah, I'm not a fan of Jesse Eisenberg.
Oh, there we are.
I would probably see it if someone else was in it. Yeah. Don't put it that way. But no, I remember talking to you last week about From Bunker 6. And we were a bit confused about that, I think. We didn't really know what it was going to be about.
Yeah.
I presume that you've seen it now.
It was his second favourite film. Exactly.
Yeah, Bunker 6, that was a very good film indeed. That was about a little girl and her parents who go into a nuclear fallout shelter in an alternative 1960, was it? You know, the Cuban crisis?
That would have been 1962.
I thought it was 62 and I didn't say it. Well, slap me.
Close
anyway,
it. Close
Okay. Alternative 1962, and so the actual, you know, bot balloon does go up, and they're underground for many years, and because of the radiation and stuff. And finally, the girl's now probably in her.
Sorry about that.
Shows how interested you are in it. So I'll start fiddling with his button, I think. Strange. How many years have been a radio producer, presenter?
What can I say? You know, suddenly the computer decided, enough, we're just jumping in there with a bit of shell shock. It's all right, don't worry.
It sounds a bit like that film, I don't know what it's called now, with Christopher Walken. Do you remember where they thought
you know,
the
funny you say
bomb
that
went
funny
off?
Yeah, funny you say that, because no, I've never seen it. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I know what you're referring to, Holly, and yes, there is a
film
where they
thought
go
it had gone off, didn't they?
Exactly.
So they stay there for 50 years
precisely,
and then, in this bunker, yes. And then the sun has to go out because they run out of food or
we'll
whatever.
Find out what that movie was by the time we come around to Fiona Moore and the hind end.
No, it wasn't like that at all. It was, there was a sort of like, it was a bit of a, well, she's underground with these other people, and, they've been underground for probably about 7 or 8 years, and one day they discover that one of them has been murdered. So one person in that bunker has killed another person, and I'm not entirely sure who it is or what it is, and so it turns into kind of like a Shining style mystery.
Holly and Rachel are in the very sort of important role of co-presenters here, as well as midweek drivettes, and they need to decide who in terms of targeting should we actually look to feature on the show from the Sci-Fi London Festival. Bradley King, Rebecca Sharrett, Christian Carroll. What do you think, Holly?
Explain who these people are and what their connections are.
Do you think we have to do that? I was just going for random names in terms of, you know, Holly's suggestion as to, well, it's Jesse Eisenberg, don't do him, you know.
Michael Jackson.
No, we couldn't. Cause
Debbie Harry.
We'd be, yeah,
Noel Edmonds.
Oh, please. You know, these
Rolf Harris.
Steady. Just go. You'd ease away. From it. So, Holly, who sort of initially sort of springs to mind? And then we'll see
I'd say Rebecca Sharrett, because
Rebecca
of this
Sharrett.
Bunker 6.
Bunker 6.
I actually would agree. I think that sounded good.
Looks as though Rebecca Sharrett, in terms of name alone and sound of name, Alan, seems to be in the lead.
She was very good. I would, yeah, why not? Do them all. They were very imaginative talking to people. I mean, if someone came on and they were interviewed afterwards, yes. You know, if they come on and gone, right, so how did you get to do this film? Don't know, really. Well, how much it cost? Well, don't know, really. I wouldn't think that's a good person to get on your show, you know. I'd want someone on there who was articulate and had a lot to say and had a lot of personality. So all those people would be good guests. Interview them all, Alex, but not all at the same time.
There you are, you see. And that is how the Midweek Drive has its magic, because we have ace correspondents and producers like Alan Stevens in the field out there, sifting the chaff and the wheat. And
literally, in a field.
Quite literally.
In the forest of
Dean. Exactly, yes. Sorting that magical thing through. Rachel,
crushing that wheat.
Yes. Rachel has to leave us now, don't you, Rachel?
I do, I'm afraid.
Oh, no!
I know. Oh! They've got a gap.
But you will return, won't you, Rachel?
I will return. Yeah. I will be back next
And you
week.
Can ask Alan those last two questions as well.
Oh, I'm going as well. Am I?
Exactly.
Oh, right. It's okay, Rachel. Anything on? I'll throw Alan as well. I'll switch the music on while he's talking.
Now, you know, Dr. Fiona Moore is with us again, and she will be. Hopefully, she'll be set. I curiously thought Fiona would have gone earlier. I thought she might have gone for 9 o'clock as opposed Ooh. To 9:40.
No, she has. My father has to be taken to Wendover Road to meet his taxi.
Okay,
so she has to take him up there.
That explains that. So obviously,
in a boat wheelbarrow.
So will Fiona be on the same number, or will she be in London? Because I was very confused about that.
She'll be in London. Why would she be on this number?
You're quite right. Yeah, oh, see, I, Lord,
you're
you see
drunk.
Yes. No,
you're pressing the wrong button.
I've just been
insulting your guests. What's going on, Alex? What is all falling apart?
I think it's the sun.
The sun.
Yes. Last two questions for Rachel. Oh yes, Holly's just shown me her phone.
No, I found that it's called Blast from the Past.
Blast from the Past.
With Christopher Walken. Yeah. Watch it. That's the one about the bunker. It's really
corny,
but it's good fun to watch.
Sounds great.
Last two questions, please. Rachel.
Oh, right. Have you enjoyed your conversation with us this morning?
It was interesting, yes.
It was interesting, yes.
Yeah, so I don't ask Rachel. She's going, but I don't
You're
ask
both going.
Questions. Do I ask her the questions?
I don't know.
Perhaps I should ask her the questions
Yeah, go
as
on.
Well.
Go on.
Okay,
yes.
So the first question is, have you had a fairly interesting chat or whatever this morning in the studio with this drunk? Sorry, with Alex.
I have. It's quite nice to be asked these questions myself. But
great.
Yes.
And is there any likelihood of you ever returning again?
Oh. Yes. Yes, most likely.
Good. Yeah. Excellent. Right. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Then you'll ask me the question.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, why? Well, have you had a conversation this morning?
That was awful.
Warning
oh, dear.
Radio.
And would you come and join us again?
I'd rather have my eyes...
Oh, dear. You can't even think of an alternative,
can you?
I would rather have my eyelids licked by my cat at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, dear, we haven't impressed.
Well, yeah. Oh, you have. It was great.
All right, thank you.
My name's Dean Elliott, and I play Paul Simon in The Simon and Garfunkel Story.
Johnny Smart playing Art Garfunkel in The Simon and Garfunkel Story.
Murray Gardner playing keyboards and electric guitar in The Simon and Garfunkel Story.
I'm Leon, I play bass in The Simon and Garfunkel Story.
And I'm Josh, I play drums in The Simon and Garfunkel Story.
And you're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM!